Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Bev.
Yes, on October 30th.
Yay.
Our Do Not Fear scripture for the day is Hebrews 13:6, comes from Hebrews 13, verse 6. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?
Glory to God.
Another one of my 6,822 favorite scriptures. Okay. I just can't land on just one. They're all good. Okay.
And
today, hallelujah, this marvelous Monday, we are going to be speaking about...
It's not hide and seek.
All right.
It's not hide and seek.
That's what we are...
Have you ever been looking for God, longing for Him, His direction, His presence? Proverbs 8:17 tells us how to find Him. It says... I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. What's the first thing you do in the morning? It's clear what God wants to be first. That's what He wants, is for us to seek Him early.
Mm.
To be honest, this was difficult for me at times past. I have a natural tendency to be about the business of the day, working my to-do list. I like planning my work and working my plan. But that should never interfere with our time with the Lord. God is not hiding from us. He's not playing spiritual hide and go seek. If we seek Him, we're going to find Him. Seeking God is simple. It's not something that you can do half-heartedly.
That's the key.
Jeremiah 29:13. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Wow. We're given a very powerful promise in the Amplified translation of Jeremiah 29:12-14, which says, then you call upon me, and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear and heed you. Then you'll seek me, inquire for, and require me as a vital necessity, and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I'll be found by you, says the Lord, and I'll release you from captivity. Hopefully you're getting, not only hearing this, but getting it. When we seek Him, when we commune with Him, He will release us from that which the enemy has used to keep us bound. Seeking God, being in His presence, should never be an occasional or as-needed thing. He wants us seeking Him on a daily basis.
Isaiah 58:2 says, yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. You know, just as we consume natural food to sustain our bodies, we need the presence of the Holy Spirit to assure our spiritual nutrition, to make sure that we're on a healthy diet, spiritual diet. And here's the bottom line. If we seek the Lord, we will find Him. God's desire is for us to be in His presence daily. First thing in the morning, once we find Him, there are some places that He, well, doesn't want us to go anymore. Amos 5:4 in the Message Bible says, God's message to the family of Israel, seek me and live. Don't fool around with all those shrines of Bethel. Don't waste time taking trips to Gilgal, and don't bother going down to Beersheba. Gilgal is here today and gone tomorrow, and Bethel is all show, no substance. You know, the shrines of Bethel were to other gods, and the children of Israel were forbidden from wasting any time there. Now you're probably thinking, well, that's not for me. I don't worship other gods. Well, let me ask you this. Are you so tied up in the World Series that you can't go to church or, you know, can't, I mean, you got to know all the stuff that's going on? Or you got to have, you know, got to be doing this, got to be doing that, instead of worshiping where we need to be worshiping, or that this comes first. I need to check my, you know, stock market report first thing in the morning. Point is, you know, if it's a choice between having money to make a down payment on a big screen TV or giving it to a missions budget, pray about that. Which shrine should we be worshiping at? And we're not trying to just, you know, give you this rhetorical list and say that you can't do other things. That it really is, God is not against other things, so to speak. But we need to put Him first. And when we put Him first, He'll help our priorities to be straight, because we've spent the kind of time and personal relationship with the Lord God Jehovah. Because He is the God of your life. He's the one who's going to really be directing you today. Have you given Him first place so that He can direct you today? It means stopping mentally, you know, and physically and emotionally and all those things that you want to do first thing in the morning, and just go, Lord, let me just get before You first. You know, once the former things of our life have been removed from our thought process, we really don't even go back to those sinful or troubled things in the past. We've taught for years that what you focus on expands in your life, and what you feed lives, and what you starve dies. So you just have to make up your own mind. What do I need to starve, and what do I need to be feeding? God is the only one who forgives sins, and not only does He forgive them, He forgets them. Hallelujah. They're cast into the sea of forgetfulness, and He doesn't remember them or bring them up to you anymore. However, as we've also discussed, the devil will, you know, he'll use relatives to do it. You know, we don't live in the past. We don't need to stumble over something that's in the past, that's behind us. The enemy wants us to focus on all these past offenses and the old way of life and things that get in our way or things that other people want to remind us of. But we don't need to give mental space to anything, like I said a minute ago, trip over something that's in the past. We don't need to let it have a stronghold in our mind. Well, I can't forget it, nobody's ever going to let me forget this. Look, that's a dangerous place to be. So the best revenge that you have from Beersheba or Gilgal or any of those prophets of Baal, statues of Baal, is to remember that the best revenge you have is to live a life so before God that all of your naysayers are ashamed and go home. Is that the best way to say it?
That's the best way to say it, baby.
Really and truly, you know, we don't need to have any other gods before us. No car we have to have that's a big, you know, no shoes, no purses, no suits, no nothing is before the Lord our God. And we don't need to be concerned about what other people think of us. We can, you know, we can live our lives glorifying God. And that terrifies the devil. That kind of makes me happy.
That's it.
You know, we've said in earlier teachings, and we'll say it again, anything that comes before the Lord God Almighty is an idol. So in the context of where God is leading us in the teaching, allow us to share Amos 8:13-14 from the Message Bible. It says, on Judgment Day, lovely young girls will faint of word thirst. Robust young men will faint of God thirst, along with those who take oaths to the Samaria Sin and Sex Center, saying, as the Lord God of Dan is my witness, and the Lady Goddess of Beersheba bless you, their lives will fall to pieces. They'll never be put together again. So, point being, you and I don't need to put faint at the word or faint of word or God thirst. Our God will give us the spirit that bubbles over, as it says, and He is ever ready to quench our thirst.
Yes.
Isaiah 44:3 says, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and thy blessing upon thy offspring.
Not only will God quench our thirst, He'll pour His spirit and blessings upon us. There are some things in the natural world that will quench your thirst temporarily on a hot summer's day or after strenuous physical exertion. However, your bottle of Gatorade will ultimately become empty, but not God-aid.
Hallelujah.
because it will continually quench your thirst, and you'll always be filled. Matthew 5:6. But are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness for my sake? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Hallelujah. In fact, John 14:4 says, we will tap into a never-ending supply of living water.
Here it is.
John 4:14. But whosoever drinketh out of the water that I shall give them shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up to everlasting life. As a boy, I remember going to my grandfather's house. He lived about a mile off the highway up in the fields. Without question, some of the best water I ever tasted came out of an old pump that was just outside the front door of my grandfather's country home. There was a bucket sitting close, filled with water. In order to taste the cool, refreshing water from that pump, you had to prime the pump by pouring water in the top as you were working the handle. Initially, you had to pump the handle fast and furiously. But once the pump caught prime and the water began to flow, you could relax and keep the flow going with little or no effort. The secret to tasting that wonderful water was priming the pump. If you want to know God's presence, then you need to prime your spiritual pump by seeking God early and often. Once you're accustomed to spending time with him, you'll realize that's the place you always want to be. It's just that pure and simple. Hallelujah. So prime the pump today.
Amen.
Prime the pump.
Prime it up and get it going for the whole week. Amen. By priming it today.
Amen.
Keep him going.
That's what we do. Hallelujah. Thank you for watching or listening. And come every morning and be with us. Check out the teachings.
Hope you watched last night, Sunday Night Live. But you have not, Rich Thoughts TV. We've changed our name a little bit. But if you haven't, you haven't lost your chance.
It'll be on the website today.
Hallelujah.
So until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God.
We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.